नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये. We're continuing with our reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person. Today's text is 24. Trishnaya bhava vahinya, Trishnaya bhava vahinya, Trishnaya bhava vahinya, Yogyai kamer apuryaya, Yogyai kamer apuryaya, Yogyai kamer apuryaya, Karmani karyamano aham, Karmani karyamano aham, Karmani karyamano aham, Nana yonishu yojitaha, Nana yonishu yojitaha, Nana yonishu yojitaha, Trishnaya bhava vahinya, Yogyai kamer apuryaya, Karmani karyamanoham, Nana yonishu yojitaha, Trishnaya bhava vahinya, Yogyai kamer apuryaya, Karmani karyamanoham, Nana yonishu yojitaha. Trishnaya bhava vahinya, Yogyai kamer apuryaya, Karmani karyamanoham, Nana yonishu yojitaha, Trishnaya bhava vahinya, Yogyai kamer apuryaya, Karmani karyamanoham, Nana yonishu yojitaha, Trishnaya bhava vahinya, Yogyai kamer apuryaya, Karmani karyamanoham, Nana yonish. Vaishnavis, Trishnaya bhava vahinya, Yogyai kamer apuryaya, Karmani karyamanoham, Nana yonishu yojitaha, Trishnaya bhava vahinya, Yogyai kamer apuryaya, Karmani karyamanoham, Nana yonishu yojitaha, Trishnaya. Because of material desires, Bhavavahinya, under the sway of the material laws of nature. Yogyai, as it is befitting. Kamai, by material desires. Apuryaya, without end, one after another. Karmani, activities. Karyamanaha, constantly being compelled to perform. Aham, I. Nana yonishu, in various forms of life. Yojitaha, engaged in the struggle for existence. Translation. Because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws, and thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life. Would you like to repeat? Okay. Because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws. And thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. As long as a living entity wants to fulfill various types of material desire, he must continuously change from one body to accept another. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that as a small piece of grass falls in a river and is tossed about with different types of wood and tree branches, the living entity floats in the ocean of material existence and is dashed and tossed amidst material conditions. This is called the struggle for existence. One kind of fruitive activity causes the living being to take one form of body, and because of actions performed in that body, another body is created. One must therefore stop these material activities, and the chance to do so is given in the human form of life. Specifically, our energy to act should be engaged in the service of the Lord, for then materialistic activities will automatically stop. One must fulfill one's desires by surrendering under the Supreme Lord, for he knows how to fulfill them. One must fulfill one's desires by surrendering under the Supreme Lord, for he knows how to fulfill them. Even though one may have material desires, one should therefore engage in the devotional service of the Lord. That will purify one's struggle for existence. Kama sarvakamo va moksha kama udaratihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desires, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead, from Bhagavatam 2:3:10. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmanya davratam anakulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktirutama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. From Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Viditam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Dina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katahmayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatrubhascha Kripa Sindhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo Tishnaya Bhavavahinya Yogyai Kamir Apuryaya Karmani Karyamanoham Nana Yonishu Yojitaha. Because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws, and thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life. This is a rare conversation that is taking place between Prahlad Maharaj and this great soul who has given up any connection to the material world. He has taken the vow of Ajagara Vritti, that of a python. Means that he doesn't move. He only waits for facility to come to him, whatever he needs for his body, and he accepts that. Prahlad Maharaj was interested to know how he got in this condition and what was his mode of life and his methodology. And we'll notice in the earlier verses that this great soul praises Prahlad Maharaj and says that when a great soul asks you a question, then it's very important to answer to the best of your ability. So now he's giving the answer how he came to this situation in life, because it's not ordinary. Most people are about in the world following various dreams and hopes that they may fulfill their heart's desire. And this person has opted out of the material existence. So Prahlad's asking him why. And now he's beginning to explain why, his realization of the futility of material life. And he uses the word trishnaya, which means because of material desires. So trishna means that every living being has a thirst. And if you look around, you'll notice that everyone's chasing after something. All animals, humans, and plants have some kind of taste. And they're pursuing that taste. Once in Jagannath Puri, I was staying on the roof of a motel. And I was looking down one afternoon, noticing all the different kinds of living entities. And there are more noticeable varieties in India than there are in America. There's mostly dogs and humans in America that can be observed. But in India, there are cows, pigs, and lots of crows, gorts, monkeys, horses. And a snapshot in my mind, I saw that every one of them had their tongue out somewhere. And the crows were flying by trying to find something. The cows were, you know, eating something. Everyone had their tongue going. Everyone had some kind of taste moving about. Nahikashitshanamapi jatu tishchetya karma krit karyate hyavasha karma sarva prakriti jarugunai. In the third chapter of the Gita, Krishna says that no one can refrain from action, not even for a moment. They're being impelled. And in this purport, Prabhupada uses the word compelled to move about and pursue the taste that they've acquired from a previous body. And Rishabhadeva says, Nunam pramata kudate vikarma, yadindriya pritya aprinoti, sarumanye yata atmanoyam, asanapi kleshada asadeha. Shouldn't do this, he said. Shouldn't pursue this, because as soon as you do, then you're obligated, and you have to get more facility from material nature. And in this word for word in the translation, this Brahmana is explaining how he was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws. And that law means that you must do it. And in the 13th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. That because of my association with the three modes of material nature, I attain various wombs and various situations in this world. And Prabhupada often gives the example of becoming infected by a germ. Once you're infected, then the germ will act and you'll become ill in some way. And similarly, if I associate with the modes of material nature, then I'll necessarily have to become infected by that particular mode of nature. Factually, the living entity has nothing to do with the material world. And therefore, the Vedas say, asango hyayam purushaha. The living entity has nothing at all to do with this material nature. There's no connection at all. However, because of my trishnaya, unlimited desires and chasing after them, therefore I do have a connection. It becomes a problem for me. I have an eternal identity as a servant of Krishna. There's no problem in that at all. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jeev Krishna dase bishrash koleto artuko nai. There'll be no unhappiness or difficulty for you if you just accept this one thing, that I'm a servant of God. I'm a servant of Krishna. Krishna dase bishwas. If you have this faith, then no problem for you, no more dukkha, no more unhappiness. But the moment I pursue material desires, then the misery starts. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj explains that the moment I begin to think about pursuing material desires, that's when the misery starts. That's when the entanglement starts contemplating. And Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita, Jayato Vishayan Pumsa, that there's a contemplation. Jayato means there's a meditation, or Prabhupada translates a contemplation. And the word contemplation means that you really have to think about it. To really think about it and look at some object in this world and contemplate it means you have to think in terms of, there's something in it for me. I can get something out of this. That's mine. I want that. And as soon as I think that, I form a sangha with that thing. And no longer is just an object. It's no longer just a movement of the material modes of material nature, but it becomes mine. And now it's a problem, because now I've claimed it as mine. And that's the difficulty that he's identifying here. This Brahman is saying, because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the ways of material nature's laws, and thus I was engaging in different activities. Although they're different, they're combinations and permutations of the same thing, recycled. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, punat punas charvita charvananam. It's the same thing over and over again, but you're trying it in a different flavor. That everyone wants to combine different flavors in this world to try to get another winner so they don't get bored. There are all kinds of products that come out, and then they mix them together and try to make them newer and newer. No one's ever satisfied. In fact, I think we've reached the saturation point on the smartphones, because no one's impressed anymore. I feel that the people at Apple are trying really, really hard to come out with something new, and they just, what else can you do? I mean, you can run a small airline off the phone, but now when they come out with a new iPhone, everyone goes, meh, that's nothing. And the stock starts dropping, and everyone wants to be amazed, and they want to see some new combination, new permutation that they haven't seen before. But it's all been done and more. And as soon as one chases after that and tries to find satisfaction in those varieties that have been recycled, then there's dissatisfaction, because there's really nothing in it. It's a mirage. So he's explaining that he came to this realization. He saw this for himself, and he saw that there's a struggle for existence in various forms of life. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the purport, Prabhupada quotes, gives the example of a living entity being tossed in the river, just like wood and tree branches and little pieces of grass. They're being carried along. And this is an example of the struggle for existence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a similar example when he teaches Sanatan Goswami that the souls are like logs floating on an endless river. And they never come to rest. They're always moving. And by good fortune, if one log happens to wash up on the shore, then he becomes saved. So this is compared to the living entity wandering in the material world and then meeting a devotee physician, Lord Chaitanya says. The devotee physician comes around, makes house calls to try to find these floating living entities, and he brings two things. One is instructions, and the other is hymns or mantras. So he has these in his little bag. He has the instructions and the mantras. And he can take those out and treat the person who's struggling in the material existence, and he can become saved. One must therefore stop these material activities, and the chance to do so is given in the human form of life. Specifically, our energy to act should be engaged in the service of the Lord, for then materialistic activities will automatically stop. So when one comes to the realization that this material world is a trap, and my involvement in it, that is, seeing that there's something in it for me, or that it's mine, will entangle me more and more. And the devotee who comes to this realization is epitomized by a prayer which is given in the... Actually, I can't remember where it appears. Kamadinam katina katida. Where is it? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Kamadinam Katina Katida Palita Duranidesha Stesham Jata Mayina Karuna Natrapa No Pashanti Utsri Jayatanata Yarupate Samprata Labda Buddhis Tomayata Sharanam Abhayamam Nyunkshva Madasye. He says, the devotee says, for how long and how many ways have I obeyed the bad masters of my senses? They've never given me mercy. They've never given me time off, and I never questioned them. I simply blindly followed whatever they said. I just did it. And these bad masters, I'm no longer going to follow these bad masters because my intelligence has awakened. He says, love the Buddha. I've gained my intelligence, and therefore I'm not going to follow them anymore. What's he going to do? Now he says, I'm going to approach Krishna for some service. I'm going to look for some service. Utsri jayatanata yarupate samprata labda buddhis tomayata sharanam abhayam mam niyokshat madasye. This is the fearless condition of life in service. Because, of course, there's the pursuit of these fleeting hopes for happiness in the material world or trying to adjust oneself, and that's futile. And then there's the rejection of it all and just saying that I won't do anything, and that's also futile. But then there's the life of dedication and taking shelter of Krishna through service. And this is effective. And that's what's being mentioned in the purport, that to get out of this difficult situation in the material world, one has to direct one's activities towards service to the Lord. So one must fulfill one's desires by surrendering unto the Supreme Lord. Now, I love this particular sentence, so I read it twice while we were reading the purport. One must fulfill one's desires by surrendering unto the Supreme Lord, for he knows how to fulfill them. Who else would know better? I think I know better, but that's a fallacy. I don't know. I make this mistake all the time, thinking, I want this. And if I leave it to the Lord, then he'll perfectly arrange everything. So this is quite a revelation, and this is practical. It's something everyone can do. Although I may have material desires, and although at the same time I may be engaged in devotional service, how do those two things go together? Well, if I say, I have material desires, therefore, my Lord, I leave it to you how to arrange to fulfill those material desires in such a way that I can go on with my service. Kardama Muni is a good example. He meditated for 10,000 years. And after 10,000 years, the Lord appeared to him, riding on the back of Garuda. And Kardama Muni offered his prayers. And then he said, my Lord, you'll have to forgive me for this. I know it's not what pure devotees ask for, but I need a wife. Kardama Muni, 10,000 years, meditation. And then the Lord appears directly before him, and he said, you are the supreme abode and purifier of everything, and please, I need a wife. And what did Lord Narayan say? I know that. I've already arranged it. She's on her way here. He said, she'll be here in 3 days. She'll be here in 3 days. He left it up to Kardama Muni left it up to Lord Narayan, said, I need a wife. So he said, the wife of Swayambhuva Manu, the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu is very qualified, perfect for you. You should accept her when she comes, and she'll be here in 3 days, along with her mother and father. They'll show up. And then there's Gajendra. Gajendra was king of the elephants, and he one day was enjoying in the lake with all his family members. It was a beautiful day, and he was the king. And he was slightly intoxicated, and he was enjoying with his family. And then suddenly a crocodile grabbed onto his leg, which is what usually happens here in the material world. Just when you think everything is going fine, then the crocodile comes and clamps onto your leg. And he struggled because he thought, I'm stronger, and that's true. Elephant beats crocodile, but not in the water. Crocodile's stronger. So they struggled for 100 celestial years. And then Gajendra realized, I can't win. And everyone will come to that realization at some point in this life. Although there's the hard struggle for existence going on, at some point I'll realize, I can't win. And Gajendra, in that state of helplessness, remembered spontaneously prayers that he had sung in his previous life to the Lord when he was in Jajumna. He had been a king in his previous life, and he had dutifully sung prayers to the Lord. And now those prayers came out from the elephant Gajendra. And the demigods heard them, and they said, those aren't for us. Those are for the Supreme. And then Narayan heard them and said, that's my devotee. I'm going to go save him. So in his prayers to the Lord, Gajendra said, my Lord, I know that pure devotees don't ask for anything, but right now I have a crocodile on my leg. I would appreciate it if you would come and save me. And this is not outside the realm of pure devotion, according to the verse which Prabhupada quotes at the end of this purport, Anyabhilashita Shunyam. There's a famous commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Anyabhilashita Shita. It means that a devotee must sincerely try on the path of pure devotional service, but if there is some circumstance beyond your control, and it's your nature to preserve yourself or your family, and you call out to the Lord, please save me. This is not against pure devotional service because it's natural. And because you're a devotee, you need your body in order to perform devotional service. Therefore, the Shastra says, Kama sanendriya pritir labo jivete yavata jivasya tattva jignasya narto yashchi cheha karma bihi. That you have a right for self-preservation because your body is important. You have to inquire about the Supreme Lord. So if you're on the path of pure devotion, and there's some dire circumstance and you call out to the Lord, please save me, this is not contrary to the pursuit of pure devotional service. That is Gajendra, and we have the example of Kardama Muni. Anyone else had material desires? I was thinking Dhruva Maharaj, because he wanted a kingdom. He wasn't thinking of anything else. He was insulted by his mother-in-law, and disturbed that his father didn't intervene. When he tried to sit on the lap of his father, his mother-in-law said, "You can't sit there because you weren't born from my womb, stepmother." And so he became angry, especially since his father didn't intervene, ran to his mother and said, "What'll I do?" And she instructed him that you have to seek God's help. "Where's God?" "Sadhus go to the forest," she said. "So I'm going to the forest," 5 years old. And his intention was to get a kingdom bigger than his father's, bigger than his grandfather's, bigger than his great-grandfather's. That was his ambition. And when he met the Supreme Personality of Godhead after following the instructions of his guru, Narada Muni, he lamented that I had asked for anything at all. But still, Krishna, Prishnigarbha, who had appeared there, said, "You take what you ask for." He didn't want it at that point. He said, "I was searching after broken bits of glass, and now I've got a jewel, inestimably valuable jewel." But still, the Lord said, "You take it anyway. 36,000 years, you rule the kingdom. Your senses will be fresh. During that time, you won't suffer at all." Plus, he gave him the pole star, which is not disturbed while everything else is disturbed in this universe, and which had never been given to anybody else, which was greater than even his great-grandfather and so forth. So Krishna fulfilled his desire perfectly. So there are examples of all kinds of devotees who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have some kind of material desire or motive, but then they leave it to Krishna, and Krishna not only fulfills their desire, but does it in such a way that they become purified, and they desire the path of pure devotional service. And now I'm going to take some reflections or questions. Yes, Bhaji Narayan Prabhu. Okay. Do we have a microphone? It's being broadcast, but go ahead and I'll repeat what you're saying.
Question one. It's also noted, Hare Krishna, that the Python man was fatty, that he was in good shape. I wonder if you wanted to comment on that. That's question one. You can decide which ones you want to take. In other words, he was just depending on whatever Krishna sent, and he was in good shape. He was nice and fatty. Well, I guess I'll just say this.
Maybe you should take one at a time.
Well, I don't want to take everybody's time. You decide.
Oh, it'll be efficient.
All right.
Well, it's a miracle. It's a miracle how everything goes on. And it's hard to understand because I think that I'm in control and I have to control the outcome of everything. But when I let go, I find out everything works out just fine without me. And Jesus told his disciples, "You go and look at the birds and see how they're being taken care of." And then you think like that, that God is there maintaining everything. And there are many examples about, anyway, Krishna says, "I'll maintain you." So this is an experiment that everyone can try. And why not? There's nothing to lose and all to gain. Just don't try so hard to chase after everything that your mind conjures up that says, "I need this, I need that." If you don't chase it and you let it go away, then you realize, oh, what a relief. I just saved a bunch of time. I don't have to do that. And someone who does that as a practice in their life and then comes to the point of being satisfied with a set of Bhagavatams, a little straw mat, and a glass of water. And, you know, if the bell rings a few times a day, they can have some khichdi. Then that person is completely satisfied and happy. And that can be achieved through practice. And brahmacharis never starve. They never starve. They're always taken care of. Once when I went to, first time I think I took an overseas trip, and at least as a devotee, and I landed in Hong Kong in the middle of the night. I was on my way to India, but I figured I'd stop in Hong Kong. It was well past midnight because the plane was so late. It was Kowloon. There's all these apartments. I tried the best I could to get the cab driver to go around. By the time I got there, it was 1:30 in the morning. I finally found what I thought was the flat. Everything seemed foreign and unusual. So I pushed the button, and I pushed it again. It was late at night, nobody coming, bomb, bomb, bomb. Finally, a voice came to the little intercom system and said something in Cantonese. And I didn't know what to say, so I just said, Haribo. And all of a sudden, they just buzzed me in. And I was walking up the stairs with my stuff, and I found a place on the floor when I got there. I didn't know anybody, didn't see anybody even who opened the door. And I figured, well, there it is. You just say Haribo. You can go anywhere in the world. Sure enough, they fed me the next day. Sajagaravritti. You just chant Hare Krishna. Huh?
They were devotees,
yeah. They were devotees. It was the right flat. But I just realized it was a realization that if you just chant Hare Krishna, Krishna will take care of everything. You can even get fat if you're not careful.
Okay, my second question, you've answered it on one hand, but I'm just going to ask it and gets a little different flavor. Okay, fine. You know, I have a desire. I depend on Krishna. Well, when's it going to come through? You know, I mean, you know, I'm waiting for it to come around the bend. I keep waiting and waiting and waiting, and you know, how come he's not fulfilling my desire? And there becomes an expectation that okay, well, I'm depending on you, Krishna. Pony up.
Well, that may also cause some anxiety if that's what I'm thinking. That Krishna pony up. That could be a problem. I'm talking about a circumstance where one may realize that simultaneously that I'm engaged in the process of pure devotional service willfully. My intelligence is awakened. But at the same time, material desires still assail me. And a little different from what you were saying about, okay, Krishna, come on, where is it? And I become impatient. In any case, there's a verse which answers this in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna says, Jata shrado makkatasu nirvina sarvakarmasu veda dukat makam kamams prityage janishvara tato bhajetamam prita shradalur jridanishchaya. He says that when one's faith has awakened and he has a desire to hear about me, jata shraddha, the faith is awakened, matkatasu, in topics about me, nirvinat sarvakarmasu, but at the same time, that person is completely disgusted with material life. Veda dukat makang kaman, he's fully aware that material desires or the pursuit of material desires leads to misery. But he doesn't have the power to resist them. Then Krishna says one should go on with one's devotional service patiently and realize that you're in a transitional position. Have faith that over time everything will be worked out okay. And also, in the verse Tate Anukampam Susimikshamanu Bunjane Vatmakritam Vipakam, Sridhar Swami comments that even after a devotee surrenders, there may be tribulations, but they're not from karma. They're from Krishna himself, who knows that the devotee, even though having surrendered, still maintains some residual material desires, just like if you burn toast and then you throw it away. Somebody walks in, there's burnt toast. So there's a remnant of that material desire because of my involvement for so long in the material world that even though I surrender, the karma's gone, but there's some slight inkling. So Krishna knows exactly how to administer misery in such a way that I'll give it up. Or he, even if, there's another verse which explains how if somebody takes the devotional service and they ask again and again, for benedictions that aren't good for them. Krishna gives the benediction, but he does it in such a way that the person won't ask again, and they'll take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And then it comes to the point of voluntarily doing it or waiting for the whole process to play out. Because at any time, one can surrender. There's no bar on that, and there's no queue, actually. You can cut to the front of the queue if you like. Because Krishna has put it out there for everybody for all time. Sarva dharman parityaja mame kam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha ishami masuchaha. Just get it over with. Surrender. And Prabhupada, in a conversation with an Indian man one day who was going down the path, I mean verbally, of saying that, doesn't one have to have adhikari to surrender? And Prabhupada cut him off. And he said, no. Just like a poor man who is offered a bag full of $1 million. What's his choice? What are the choices? Or don't take it. That's your problem. You didn't take it. So Prabhupada said, Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityaja mame. Here you go. Just surrender to me. I'll deliver you from all sinful reaction. Don't worry, don't fear, don't hesitate. What's the problem? Nah. I'll do it later. So I'll have to go through some reformatory process. But if I surrender now, it's much easier. Thank you.
Just, you were saying how Krishna expertly administers pain in such a way to free us from a desire. There's one devotee I know who will remain nameless, really wanted two wives. Everyone said, it's not a good idea. It's not. He wanted to get married, but he wanted two wives. Not a good idea. Finally, it happened. He got two wives. They fell in love with each other, left him with the mortgage on the house and the two kids.
No one saw that coming.
No, nobody saw that.
So, Srila Prabhupada arrived in America today, and he brought with him the Srimad Bhagavatam. And you'll notice in the prayers that he made while entering the Boston Harbor that the remedial process for getting rid of all these material desires that he was offering to people was the vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he quoted the verses beginning with Srinvatam Swakata Krishna, ending with Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava, which explain the progression of purification that takes place in the heart of one who submissively hears the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada knew that if Krishna would allow the people to hear that, or that they could be inspired to hear that vibration and take it in even a little bit, that their material desires would subside and they would become purified. So, thinking about how today we're attentively hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that it's Prabhupada was successful. He brought it. He brought the Bhagavatam over. He gave it to us. And now these classes are going on everywhere in the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after naming the 64 processes of devotional service to Sanatana Goswami, said there are five which are particularly potent, and that among the five is the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Mahaprabhu said that even if one doesn't have faith in it, and even if one just has a little connection with it, one will come to the perfect stage of life by engaging in it. So, someone mentioned this morning, I think it was Savas, that we're all sitting here together because of Prabhupada's making that journey across the ocean and arriving in America and bringing with him the Srimad Bhagavatam specifically, so that everyone could hear it and become purified. And in this purport, Prabhupada says that one must engage in devotional service in order to overcome material desires. One can't do it independently. Many people try. In fact, even those who are jnanis, who have realized that it's a fake out, the material world's a fake out, and they've realized, I'm not going to go for it anymore, they still can't overcome it. Just intellectually. Yet pada pankacha palasha vilasya bhakta, karmashrayam gratitam utgratayanti santa, Tadvanna riktamatayo yatayo pirudha shoto ganas tamaranam bhajavasudevam. The Kumaras say that the waves of material desire are so strong that even those who are jnanis and they try through all kinds of mechanical processes to stop these waves of sense gratification, they can't do it. Eventually they're washed away again. Only one, yet pada pankacha palasha vilasya bhakti. Somebody who's taking pleasure in the lotus feet of the Lord, they actually are enjoying the happiness there. And specifically Prabhupada's saying here, service. And I heard this morning where Prabhupada was saying this anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma ninavritam jnana karma ninavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam. Shilanam, the root of that word anushilanam is shil. Shil means there's activity. It's a cultivation. You have to do something. Actually, there's two parts to it. And one of them is the emotional, the emotions that arise as one becomes advanced in devotional service. But Rupa Goswami says that's activity also, because the devotee is aware of them and he's always trying to repress them. So, but in any case, Prabhupada emphasizes the fact that shil in anushilana means that you have to do something, you have to cultivate. And Prabhupada's specific instructions are that preaching is the best. He said that this morning. It's the best activity to preach the glories of Krishna. And there's oftentimes a controversy about whether we work now, samadhi later, that we're engaged in all kinds of processes which are getting us ready to stop doing this process of preaching and then get on with our Raghunuga Bhakti in a different way. However, there is a way in which the Raghunuga, or spontaneous devotional service following in the footsteps of the residence of Raja, is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, in their Sadaka Deha, which means as they appeared in this world, not in their manjari forms their spiritual forms, they came in this world as servants of Lord Chaitanya. And what did they do? They weren't sitting under a tree all day, although sometimes we say like that, but notice that they were searching out maps in libraries to excavate and find various holy places. They were writing. You can't sit under a tree all day long and write. Somehow, especially what they were writing on. You need some implement. You need a flat surface. There's certain things that you need. And they were doing all kinds of activities. Even Jiva Goswami was engaged in legal work to preserve the original temples of the Goswamis. And all this, say the acharyas after Rupa and Sanatan, is considered following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. In other words, if we do that kind of preaching work where we're engaged in spreading the glories of the Lord, that takes a lot of work and it takes interacting with all kinds of people and... Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. So the final point was just this, that is that as Prabhupada came to America with the intention of bringing the Srimad Bhagavatam and spreading it all over, the continuation of that work is perfectly suited to engage our senses. Everything that goes with that, all the endeavors that we make to get the Srimad Bhagavatam out to people, is that kind of work will purify the senses completely. It will give us that taste that is needed to overcome material sense gratification and come to the perfect stage. So in the mood of Srila Prabhupada arriving in America, getting on the Jaladutta means getting on a boat's a big deal. I mean, going anywhere is a big deal. Traveling's a big deal. You got to figure out what to take with you, what to leave behind. Not to speak if you're leaving everything behind. But, I mean, it means you're going somewhere. And a long time ago, I found these three words, go, go, go. And I used to use it as my sign-off. I'd say, go, 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 Vaisheshika Das. And then one day I was just fooling around on the Veda base, and I said, I'm going to check out go, go, go. And then, lo and behold, there it was, several times. Prabhupada uses this, go, go, go. And he says that Lord Chaitanya was sending out his sannyasis and all his devotees here, there, and everywhere saying, go, go, go. Go out and preach. Do these things. And this is action in inaction. It is actually transcendent activity. It will purify the senses. It will bring one to the perfect stage of life, this go, 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 starting new temples. There's no alternative, actually, in the Kali Yuga, and for those who are followers of Srila Prabhupada, to be active in this way. And it will bring one to the perfection of a devotional service.